The book of Mark, chapter 10. The book of Mark, chapter 10, starting at verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still. Jesus came to Jericho, and he left Jericho. But there was a blind man who stopped Jesus. And Jesus has come to Mid-America, and he is going to leave Mid-America. But I believe in the next few seconds of this service, somebody is going to stop Jesus. Is there anybody in the house that came here with an agenda, with a plan to stop Jesus? By the help of the Holy Ghost, I want to preach to you for just the very next few moments. The story starts when the author stops. I wonder one more time if you would just lift up your hands, you would close your eyes, and you would lift up your voice, and you would pray like only an apostolic knows how to pray. God, I thank you for every single man, woman, boy, and girl that is in this house tonight. God, I thank you for what you have already set out and ordained to do in the next few moments of this service. God, without a divine visitation of your spirit, this is just another sermon. But by your unction and by your anointing, there will be a demonstration of your power in the next few moments of this service. So by your word and by your power, we come against fear, we come against doubt, we come against intimidation and anything human or hellish that would oppose what you are about to do in this house. If you believe in the power of your prayer, I want you to shout, "Jesus." If you believe that he's just heard your prayer, would you shout, "Jesus"? Come on, would you do it just a little bit louder?
Jesus.
Would you do it one more time as loud as you can?
Jesus.
And would you give one final clap of ovation to that Jesus? You may be seated tonight. It was another day at the bottom for blind Bartimaeus. This day would be like every other day as his hands felt around him and as his hands felt the dust and the dirt and the grime and the grit. And the blind man, the son of a blind man, was reminded yet again that he indeed was at the bottom. His life would be one of things out of his control that was handed down to him. He didn't ask for it. He didn't desire it. But Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was a blind man, the son of a blind man. And without his control and without his opinion and without his choice, he was handed down the identity and the coat of a blind man. But his life was not just one defined by what was handed down to him. But blind Bartimaeus had his life defined by what would be handed out to him every single day. Because blind Bartimaeus was not just at the bottom. He was a beggar, the son of a beggar at the bottom. But I came to preach to a young man and a young lady on a Friday night that is tired of hell's hand-me-downs and hell's handouts, that would make up in their mind and make up in their spirit, a new story is about to start in my life. Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord. I've come to give a revelation to somebody that is at the bottom. My ministry tonight and my assignment is not to the masses. It is not to the multitude or everyone that is sitting upon these Pentecostal pews. But my assignment tonight is to an apostolic Pentecostal PK, a young man, a young lady, a hyphen, a college and career, a teenager that finds themselves at the bottom. And I pray by the help of the Holy Ghost that you would get a different perspective of where you are. Because the Bible tells me that Daniel was thrown into a pit and Daniel hit the bottom. But just a few verses later, we would find in Daniel 6 and 24 that those that had accused him, those that had come against him, their families, their wives, and their children would be thrown down into that exact same pit. But the Bible says that before they ever hit the bottom, the lions had the mastery of them and chewed them up and break their bones into pieces. Another translation would say it like this: before they ever hit the bottom, they were overpowered and devoured by the lions. I came to tell some of you on this Friday night that God did not allow you to hit the bottom for no reason, because hell knew if you ever reach the bottom is the worst place to stay, but it is the best place to get back up. Come on, some of you don't believe me right now, but the Bible says that hell has enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, seeking to devour you, seeking to crush you, seeking to break your life into pieces. But it never got to you because God let you hit the bottom. Come on, I got to get it into somebody's spirit tonight that you're not just at the bottom for no reason, but you have what even the enemy does not have. One of the final punishments of the adversary is that an angel is going to take a chain, and an angel is going to take a key, and he's going to cast the adversary into a bottomless pit. You have something that Satan does not have. You have the ability to get back up again. You, ma'am, you, sir, have a second chance. You have the ability to dust yourself off, wipe off your, and get back up. Come on, Deuteronomy says it like this. He is the eternal God. He is the eternal God. God is eternal. Your mistake is not. God is forever. Your failure is not. Satan fell in eternity, but you fell in time. Let me say it like this. Satan fell in eternity, but you fell in time. You've got a chance to get back up tonight. You've got a chance to get back up tonight. Come on, I would to God the Spirit would let me call some of you out, because he did not keep me up for no reason. But he had me preach a message to somebody here tonight to tell you, yes, you're at the bottom. Yes, you're at the dirt. Yes, you're on the grind. Yes, you're on the ground. But you can't. Our God is eternal, and underneath is His everlasting arm. I don't care how far you fell. I don't care how hard the fall was. I don't care how deep the pit. I don't care how messy the muck and the mire. If I can quote my pastor, hell's got a big mouth, but God has long, long, long arms. And when you thought you hit the bottom, you hit the hands of Almighty God, because you are not out of reach. Come on, I'm preaching to you, PK. You're not out of reach. I'm preaching to you, saint of God. I'm preaching to you, teenager. Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord. But it was not just another day at the bottom. It was another day in the dark. I said it was not just another day at the bottom. It was a day in the dark. How do you know you're in the dark? When you complain about 30-minute messages, but you can watch episodes and episodes of Netflix for hours upon hours and still wait for the next one to come out that you shouldn't even be watching. How do I know you're in the dark when you can log 10 hours on Xbox, but you've only had 10 minutes in the prayer room? How can I know you're in the dark when you can post a seductive, sexy selfie and justify it by saying Acts 2:38 guy or Proverbs 31 woman? You know how I know that you're in the dark when you can lift up hands in the spotlight, but you're still clicking on porn at midnight? You know how I know when you're in the dark? When you can snot, you can cry, but you never, ever change. You know how I know somebody's in the dark? When they can worship one God with their lips on Sunday, but they worship a trinity of money, sex, and fame with their life on Monday through Friday. You know how I know you're in the dark? When you care more about your image down here than how God sees you down here. And when you can't confess, and when you can't go to pastor, and when you... and you don't even understand you're at the bottom and you're in the dark. I felt the Lord speak to me at my hotel right before service. And He reminded me of a time in the Bible where they threw a dead man into a low place, into a pit, and into a grave. And that dead man thought he hit the bottom. But that dead man didn't hit the bottom. He hit the bones of a prophet and received life and breath and came. God spoke to me and said, if somebody goes home without the understanding that they're not just at the bottom, but there's a pastor that is trying to catch their fall, and if they'll make contact with their man of God, life is going to come back to them. Come on, you need to stop going to Facebook and YouTube and to every celebrity that can out-preach your pastor. Because you know what? There's a lot of people that can out-preach my pastor, but you cannot out-anoint him. Because he is the God-ordained shepherd and authority over my life. Hear me right now. Hear me right now. So I felt the Lord speak to me. He said, everybody remembers the part that when they fall, they're supposed to arise and get back up again. He said, but there's people that have fumbled around in the dark, and they've fallen down and got back up, and they've fallen down and they got back up, and they've fallen down. And like blind Bartimaeus, they have sat down in their darkness. But he is not just the God of when you fall and get up again. He is the God of when you have sat down in your sin and sat down in your casualness and sat down in your carnality. He is the God that will come busting into the scene and say, I will not leave you where you are. Jonah was in the belly of the whale, in the deep, in the dark. But you know what the Bible says? God spoke to the whale. Now, if you don't think that's crazy, we got different brains. Hold up. God is having a combo with the whale. God is talking to a whale. Isn't that just a little crazy? Yeah, it is. Because God will do crazy things to get a hold of a son and of a daughter that's in the deep, that's detained, that's diseased, and on their way to death. I think leaving a mansion and coming down to a manger is pretty crazy, but that's my God. I need us just to lift up our hands for just a moment right now and entertain the presence of the Lord. Hear me right now. Hear me right now. Bartimaeus, you feel that? That's the dust. That's the dirt. That's the grit. That's the grind. Bartimaeus, did you see that? No, I didn't think so. You're still in the dark. But Bartimaeus, you're about to be on a blind date with destiny. Creator and clay is about to come together. Deity and dust is about to join. And Bartimaeus! 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 Do you hear me past the suit and tie? Bartimaeus, do you hear me past the nice dress and the cute purse? Because God is speaking to you right now. The Bible says he's going to pass by because that's our God. Moses, he's going to pass by you in the cleft of the rock. Little lady with the issue of blood, he's going to pass by you. Unless somebody stops him. How does the story of your life read? Yeah, that's them right there. No. This is the Jesus came to Mid-America and left Mid-America. No. That is going to be the story. Somebody in this house, unless you decide to do otherwise. Because the Bible says that my mouth, my tongue, was as the pen of a ready writer. God is looking to put a new story into somebody's life, but he's going to use your tongue and he's going to use your mouth. Jesus came to Mid-America and a blind man said, "That's not my story." Jesus, I don't know where he is. Stop it. You look stupid. See? Shut up, be quiet. No. Because some of you have fumbled in darkness for a long time. You might as well get ready to fumble in the altar for 5 more minutes because your darkness. Your darkness is coming to an end. But you don't understand, that's my story. You see, when I was born, I had some things handed down to me, and I wasn't in the right family. And see, then there was this other time in my life where I lift off the spiritual handouts of everybody else. And that's where your story starts. That's where your story starts. Oh, it can start there, but it doesn't have to. Blind Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming by, but he did not call out to Jesus of Nazareth. It's just the son of Joe coming by. Don't get excited. It's just the carpenter's son coming. Everybody else told him that Jesus of Nazareth was coming by. But that blind man did not cry out to Jesus of Nazareth. For he said, "This is not just the son of a carpenter. This is the creator of all time and space. This is not just the son of Joseph. This is the son of David, my Messiah." I want to ask you, is he just the Jesus of your Sunday school lesson? Is he the Jesus of the flannel board when you were 11? Is he the Jesus of your mama and dad? Or is he the Jesus of your darkness? Oh, did you miss it? Blind Bartimaeus got a revelation in the dark, and he saw something that everybody else did not see. This ain't just another man. This is my Messiah that has showed up at Mid-America 2017. This is the author and the finisher. Story started before camp, but there's about to be a new story because my author and my finisher is about to start. But look at what you've lost. Okay, let's look. Bartimaeus, what'd you lose? Eyes. Okay, let's look at what you got. Number one, he heard. Bartimaeus has ears. Number two, Bartimaeus shouted. He has a mouth. Oh, stop right there. Don't need to count anymore. Blind Bartimaeus has more left than he lost. Some of you have lost your anointing, your purpose, your calling, your virginity, your purity. But I've come to tell you tonight, you've got more left than you lost. But here's what's about to happen in the Holy Ghost. Because there's a man of God with the word of God that's going to try to get you somewhere. But the God of glory already told me what was going to happen to some of you. Because see, you've been defined by what was handed down to you and handed out to you for a long time. And you come with your nice, cute little cup. But the problem with begging is that you just need a little change to get by. You just need about 30 cents to get you to the weekend. You just need a... Is there anybody I could... I just need a few cents from your lesson. And thank you. And I just need a few. I just need just a little bit, a dollar or two. I just need a... And the problem is you're about to leave this conference with your cup full. But is it overflowing? Oh, but you don't understand. That was a really good message. And I got so much from that dance. And I spoke in tongues just a little bit. And that altar call was so great. And maybe you missed it, but I got... And you're about to fit it all into your cute little cup. But God is never fit in a nice, cute little cup. For if all the things of Jesus have been recorded one by one, even the world could not contain the book. Here's what's about to happen. You're going to get your sight. But to get your sight, you got to get up and go. But before you get up and go, you got to take off your coat. Man of God, help me take off my coat. I'm so glad you were preaching this year. Man of God, you are my favorite preacher for a reason. Come on. Maybe 2018. Oh, but then there's going to even be some of you that said, hey, pastor, I got my coat half off at Mid-America. But God's waiting for the moment for a new story to start. And I'm done. But your story's not going to be started by what was handed down to you, by what was handed out. Your story's about to be started by what was handed over to him. And somebody's got 20 seconds to drop the coat and to break the cup.